Half Time. He's the gentle giant of Geelong. He's the big hairy cat. He's our man, Cameron Mooney, for O'Connell's, Melbourne's number one foodie pub.
Always great to see Moons on a Tuesday, fresh off a big weekend of footy. Plenty happening on and off the park. Good to see you, mate.
OP, how are you, buddy?
Going all right.
How was your weekend?
Solid. I think you were at the Gabba.
I was at the Gabba.
I was up there covering that game.
Yeah, it wasn't one for the ages.
Oh, it was good for three quarters. I didn't mind the Lions.
Jeez, how up and down are Adelaide? Tell me, what do you think of Adelaide?
Well, I reckon they're the hardest to get a read on.
You're spot on.
Because for three quarters, they butchered the footy a fair bit. And
they were nothing short of horrendous for three quarters.
The Stars didn't really stand up. Rory Sloan got subbed out. Mm. Paddy Dangerfield couldn't get in the game. Tex wasn't getting much of a supply.
And no.
They got the hardness, Moons. That's the thing I look at Adelaide and think, gee, they got that real four-quarter hardness to go with the best teams.
They started the season so brilliantly well. And we thought, oh, here we go. What's Phil Walsh done here? He's got them defending brilliantly and they're kicking goals and they're doing this, they're doing that. They're a great team and hard to play against. And that lasted about 3 weeks.
Yep.
And since then, they've just been a rollercoaster ride. Mm. And they were shocking for three quarters. And it was only just the lack of probably experience and probably real game breakers for Brisbane that couldn't just keep a hold of the game and win it in the end. So they were very, very lucky, Adelaide.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, Brisbane sort of got a bit conservative, I think, in that last quarter and forgot to keep attacking and probably ran out a little bit of legs. And they've had that makeshift forward line. McStay could hardly get a touch for three quarters, came alive with a few shots at goal. But gee, when their small brigade's up and going, Brisbane, the rebound they were getting from halfback,
yeah.
Lewis Taylor and...
Then Hanley got injured, so that really threw a dagger on that one, didn't
they? They could just
well.
Get a full complement together at Brisbane. Their tools to complement their running brigade, they'll be something. But they've never been able to put together that sort of full team under Justin Lepich.
No, very disappointing. And this week will be interesting to see how they go against the Cats. But Thursday night's going to be an interesting one, BP. I mean, Swanee's coming up against Port.
Well, this is it for Port, isn't it? If they're 5-8 after this weekend, it's...
Oh, it's curtains closed, surely. Yeah. But this week, of all teams that they could come up and beat, you've got no Buddy, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and no Tippett.
Yep.
I mean, God, this is a massive, massive opportunity for Port to get their season back up and going. And but even going back to even last Thursday night, the Pies were just fantastic against Freo.
Yeah, they competed. They were great.
Well, that's all they've got to do. I mean, they're not... I do love what they're doing. I love what Bucks is doing there, but they're not going to be right now a lock-in top four or a top two.
Mm.
So to beat the best sides, they have to bring that enormous pressure week in and week out. So can they do it again this week against Hawthorn? It's going to be the big question mark.
Well, I was sort of posing the question yesterday here, Moons, who is the fourth best team at the moment? It's a given that Fremantle, Sydney, the Hawks are just, I suppose, trying to time their run really well and peak at the right time. And we know West Coast is sitting second. Are they going to stay there? Is Collingwood going to take that spot? Can Richmond continue to rise? Adelaide and the Dogs just inside the top eight. And whether the team's outside the eight, who can get in? Because we're not convinced about your old mob, the Cats, and whether they can string some games together.
I don't think the Cats can. Look, they may just fall in. I've still got a big question mark on that one. North Melbourne's probably the one with their run home that can go into the eight. I think we've got them down for maybe at least seven wins coming home, and I think 50-50 games, so obviously could go either way. Richmond's probably the one. I mean, what they did against Sydney in that second half and what they've done against Fremantle over there, when Fremantle were pretty hot at that stage, that has to put them in the category of a top four side.
You saw them live. I mean, their second half was fantastic. Well, I thought the Swans, and I made mention of this yesterday, I know the pressure on them was enormous, but I thought the Swans, I've never seen them sort of capitulate.
Well, it was
like that, just some of their ball handling.
Unbelievable second half, wasn't it? I mean, even there was a decision at one stage when they needed to win the game and they had eight defenders.
Mm.
They had two guys sitting behind the ball. They just played some really dumb footy, Swannies, which is something you don't really say about them because they're such an experienced group. But to have your bookends flying means the world to a football club.
No doubt.
They've got a very strong midfield, and their midfield in their second half were great. Trent Cotchin, his leadership, and you talk about him as a great player, and I think he is a very, very good player when he's up and going. But his leadership in that third quarter was outstanding, got them going. Delidio does what Delidio does. I love that he's playing, and we've seen now for the last 12 months or so, centre forward, because he had 10 inside 50s. And when he does that, you're virtually going to win the game because he's so damaging with his kicking. Martin does what he does. But those bookends, I mean, Rance was just incredible with the one-on-ones. He got two goals kicked against him. I think those two goals, yep. There's not much he could have done about them. I think one of them was a really poor turnover, and another one was just the ball was coming through the middle of the ground, but he got on the lead.
And you'd be loving the work of Jack as a
Jack, I love Jack. We spoke about this at quarter time. I hadn't seen Jack's work rate that high. And if you watch it on TV, you don't get to see it because you just see the end result, the ball going into him. But it's the leads that he does, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in that first quarter, then to get on the end of a couple. I mean, he kicked a couple of points as well because he got him out wide. But his work rate, and you just knew from then on, he's going to have a big night. Just because of how hard he was working. And that's Bucks, something I haven't seen for a while, BP.
Absolutely. 94291116, by the way, if you do want to get involved. You can send us a text, 0433981116. And the one good thing for the Tigers is that Riewoldt and Vickery are good kicks for goal. Now, we can't always say that about Cloak and Jesse White, and it's been given a fair bit of air. But, gee, they get the ball inside forward 50. Their conversion, particularly Tyrone Vickery.
Well, these conversions. Bruno, I mean, even at halftime, I gave him a roast at halftime. I put him in the cooking pot, as we do at halftime. We threw our 5 blokes in the cooking pot, and I gave him a bit of a whack around the ears because he wasn't great. His will to compete just wasn't there. Mm. His will to help Riewoldt, he and Griffiths, just wasn't there. No. It was really poor. And he came out, and I said after the game, you know what? He played like a man. Played like the man that he needed to play like.
Yep.
And ticks to Vickery. Hopefully he can get that going for, you know, more of a four-quarter effort. Because he does that. He is a really good player when he's up and going. We saw him in his first year. He can take big marks. He can take marks on a lead. He can kick straight, as you said. Mm. He's got the tricks in the bag. It's just his consistency and will to want to compete. That's his problem.
What can they do, Richmond? I mean, obviously the first equation is to try and win a final. That's the big thing.
If they can't lose... And just say they don't make top four. So they can't lose 3 elimination finals in a row. They do that. That's just, it almost rips the heart out of a football club. They need to win finals. Mm. They need to win a final.
So do you feel...
That's a minimum.
Do you feel better about them 12 months on from where they are? Do you look at them with a bit more confidence?
I'm still with them. I see them beat Fremantle. I see them go away to Sydney. And, you know, two massive road trips, probably the two hardest road trips in the game. And I think to myself... That's fantastic. But then they just serve up some tripe at home every now and then. You just think, God, how can you back them with any real confidence? But look, hopefully for their sake, that was just a turning point.
Next 3 weeks, GWS, Carlton, St Kilda. That'll define the Tigers.
Well, it will. And look, that's three wins we'd all be putting them down for.
Yep.
And they should. And they probably will. But you just don't know.
Yeah, and Richmond supporters, I went to a function on Sunday and the lid had come off and I just said, put it back on. You've learnt your lesson.
They are the quickest to blow the lid clean off, aren't they, Richmond?
Just keep their powder dry. Let's go to Tom at Hoppers Crossing, who joins us. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, boys. Moons, I just wanted to ask you about the Cats. I think we can still win enough games to get into the finals, but... I was watching the footy shows last night and saw the West Coast Web, and they were talking to Luke Beveridge. And I think for some of those clubs like Eagles and Hawthorn and even the Bulldogs and St Kilda, their game plan's pretty clear on what they want to do. As a Cats fan, I love where we're going and I appreciate we're in transition, but I am really worried about Scott's tactics. And I just wanted to whether you think that maybe they need to go out and get a really strong assistant coach who's tactically brilliant to assist him. Because I was at the Melbourne game, and Roosey had Jack Watts just running a decoy lead to get Harry away from the ball. They were dragging Rivers back to the goal line and then were keeping... and obviously the Cats, we wanted Domsey Lonigan to be on the goal line. And he was just completely outcoached, and it often goes that way.
I think with those boys, I think the disappointing bit there, Tom, was I remember watching the game myself and thinking, that shouldn't be Harry getting led away. I mean, he's experienced enough. He's a leader of that football club. And so is Tommy Lonigan. So is Jared Rivers. I mean, they've all played close to 200 games plus maybe, but... You know, for those three guys to not work it out on the field, I think that's probably more the disappointing thing from that point of end. I'm not sure who the defensive coach is down there off the top of my head, but I reckon that's what he would have been talking to him about. You know, you guys are so experienced, you can't allow yourselves to be dragged into spots that we don't want you. So I'd be looking at more of the players on that point of view. But I think from a coaching point of view, he's got a game plan, but I'm just not sure right now he's got the actual experience in his players to get through this game plan at the minute. And I think the biggest thing for the Geelong right now is they need some more big, strong-bodied players in the middle of the ground. Mm. I mean, the contested footy has just been shocking for a couple of years.
Yeah, the numbers are glaring, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They've got the outside speed. They've got the outside polish. They're great finishers. They're great ball users. They're just not winning enough. And the skipper right now is getting frustrated on the back of he doesn't have anyone else in there to go and win that ball. And the opposition know that. And if I'm the opposition, I'm saying to myself, I'm going to put our best bloke or our best run with player tagger on Joel Selwood. And I'm going to make Cam Guthrie, Josh Caddy, Mark Blitzsavs, I'm going to make them beat me. Because they may beat me, they may not.
Yep.
But I know Joel Selwood would beat me if I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Tom. Thank you for that. Ron at Ferntree Gully at 19 past 12. G'day, Ron.
Yeah, g'day. I think, I know that Moons has talked about work rate with Jack Riewoldt. I think the other thing that's got to come into is actual love. You know, I think Mark Robinson wrote an article about it 12, maybe 14 months ago, about Vickery saying he doesn't know whether he actually loves the game. And I think blokes like Vickery and even Jack Watts, unless they, I think they fall in and out of love with the game. And it's a bit like being a 15, 16-year-old teenager. They have good weeks and bad weeks. And I think with maturity, they become better players and better lovers.
I think when you're inconsistent and you're not confident, absolutely you fall out of love with the game because everybody's coming after you. There are times when you're playing so poorly and you know everyone's having a crack at you. And I've said that I'd hate to play in today's game.
Yep,
the scrutiny with social media.
Yeah,
you're dead. So you throw your phone out the window. You'd never look at it again. Mm. But there are times where you just don't want to walk down the street because the confidence is so low, and it's because of the game that you're playing, you know. So it is tough sometimes. But when you're up and about, it is. It's the greatest game in the world.
Absolutely.
And things are going well.
We heard Nick Kyrgios, from a tennis perspective, say last week he doesn't really love the game. I think he likes all the perks and all the bits that go with being a tennis player. But if you're in that bubble all the time, and you can relate to it obviously far better than I can.
But they're a worldwide bubble, that one. How is Nick going?
That's another world.
How is Nick going?
A bit to say to the chair umpire last night, just arguing away. His first two sets were unbelievable. I mean, little Diego is a bit like Libba, 170 centimetres.
I looked at him last night. Geez, he was small.
And all of a sudden, he packed a punch in the third set and got himself back in the match. But
does he talk too much, Nick?
I think there's too many distractions going on. I mean, you just focus on the tennis. I mean, it doesn't seem to affect him, though, in terms of losing matches. Mm. But you feel like it just...
But is he becoming the guy that... The D-head factor?
I think... The way we like to see our sports people present themselves, they might get away with it in America.
Yeah.
But here, I think we like a bit of that humbleness, don't we?
Yes.
And just let
Cause I love him
your
as a
actions
player,
do the talking.
Yeah, he's just starting to get on that list of, is he a bit of a D-head?
I can't work him out from day to day, Moons. I don't know what's going to come out, and I'm sure TA don't know either. It's plenty happening in the world of footy, and you can join in the conversation. 9429 1116. Send us through your text for thoughts, 0433 98 11 16. I noticed there was one there, Moons, and it's sort of going against the grain. Disagree, Richmond having to win a final. They are building and have said all along and beyond 2016 is our opening. Surely they're going to win a final.
No, I totally disagree on that
this year.
They have to win a final this year.
I think West Coast under John Worsfold in his first 2 years lost two elimination finals, but that built the platform. And
yes.
And they went on to make it those couple of grand finals.
No, I think they've got the list. And I think they believe they've got the list now to at least... No, you look at their results over the last few weeks.
Mm.
Even though take the West Coast game away. But
yep.
No, they believe they've got the side now to at least do a little bit of damage in September.
Absolutely. We'll touch on the Gold Coast and the two reports for Sydney in just a moment. A couple of your calls. Andrew's out at Reservoir. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Brett and Moons. Brett, I'm going to take you to task, matey.
Go on.
Go, Andrew. Swing.
Well, you suggested that the Swans did a very unlike performance and capitulated last week, and they certainly did for last year's grand final.
Yeah, well, that was a shocker from the start, pretty much, wasn't it? So they're very rare. That's why you notice them more than anything. But that was really glaring to me on Friday night. I suppose you remember the most recent, but certainly, the grand final last year, that's one that they've probably not gone back, Moons, and looked at the tape. But it's very rare. They just give probably the best value for money of any footy team just about going around.
You still there, Andrew?
Yes, mate.
Is that all you wanted?
Well, it was really because, I mean, not joking, that's the first time in my adult life, and I'm 54, that I didn't watch the grand final after half time because it wasn't worth watching.
No, it wasn't. And look, you've still got to ask the question. I know, I think Dermy spoke about this on Monday. Mm. Are the two boys up forward, have they been, well, not Buddy, but the both of them combined, is their pay packet really not pulling its weight?
No. And you'd say...
Well, let's be honest, it's Tippett. Tippett's not pulling his weight at the minute.
And so certainly the stats from the weekend came out that he's not getting the same supply, obviously, as
Buddy. You know what? That comes down to a trust factor. Yep. I mean, yes, we're talking about Buddy, one of, if not the best forward in the game, and has been for a long time. Mm. And when you're a midfielder and you look up, you see Buddy, you see Tippett, who are you going to go to? Well, you're probably going to go to Buddy, but there's also comes down a little bit of a trust factor too, that is this guy going to market? Is he going to compete? Is he going to hold it in? You know, you give it to Buddy, more often than not, he's going to do something. He's either going to hold it in, market, get a goal, whatever it is. Where Tipper, you just think, you just don't know what you're going to get from week to week.
No, his kicking's not totally reliable. I mean, go back to his Adelaide days. I mean, they came as different players. I mean, Buddy Franklin with a couple of flags and cult status in the game. Tippett with the promise that he could probably maybe head into his peak period. He'd shown good stuff at Adelaide without being a consistently dominant player. So there are some deficiencies there.
I think that when they play their best footy together, the games that I've seen when they played their best is when Buddy actually roams up the ground and does his damage, gets his player up the ground and then beats them back and allows Tippett that more one-on-one in the goal square. When he plays one-on-one in the goal square and the ball's coming to him isolated, he's very, well, I can tell you, he's extremely hard to beat. He's one of the strongest blokes I've ever come across. I mean, he ragdolled me years and years ago when he was just a kid. so he's brilliant at that, but the fact when you've got two of them playing inside 50 and Buddy wanting to be Buddy and wants to kick his goals, as he should, that's probably when they struggle as a duo.
Well, certainly Hawthorn haven't lost anything really, have they? I mean, they've about developed a few more foils.
Well, the best thing that ever happened was almost Buddy in that year that they won, what was it, 2013, when Buddy played up the ground more, which put Ruffy back into the goal square, got Gunston back in there and Bruce, and you know, the club learnt to kick goals through other players.
Yep.
And now we're seeing, you know, three of the best forwards in the game with Gunston, Ruffy and Bruce do their work.
Let's head to Brendan at Keysborough. We'll still get the Pies. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, BP and Moons.
How are you, champ?
Good, mate. Hey, Collingwood are into the second week of a six-week pretty match-defining stretch for them. I think they've got, Hawthorn, Port Adelaide, West Coast Bulldogs. I don't know who after that. How do you think they'll go if they sit 3-3 after those 6 weeks? And also, who do you think will come in for White? Do you think it'll be Reid or maybe Maynard or Karnesis?
Well, it won't be Reid at the moment because I think he's gone in for more scans. I don't know if it was precautionary. I think it was precautionary, but I'm not sure of what the result was in the end, whether he's going to miss BP or...
No, not 100%
sure.
Not
100%.
But
their next block is a massive one. And like I said, if they can walk away 3-3, and if they can get a result against, you know, like a Hawthorn, like you said, Port over there, mind you, West Coast back here in Melbourne, then the Dogs here on a Sunday, and then I think it's Melbourne. So yeah, tough block for them. But if they can walk away from that with a couple of wins or three wins, they'll play finals. I'm a big believer that they'll play finals this year, even though they've got the hardest run home. Mm. As far as ladder positions go.
Well, right now, you'd probably say West Coast 9-3 with half their games at home for the remainder of the year. I mean, they're just about a lock, aren't they? Unless things go a little bit pear-shaped. But
will they lock for top two or you think...
Well, at least the four.
At least the four.
Yep. So you'd think Hawthorn probably builds some momentum from here. And
Hawthorn has still just been a little bit up and down.
Yeah.
I'm still picking Hawthorn to win the premiership. I can't.
It's funny, we keep trying to find ways to write off West Coast, but they just sort of...
Oh, I know.
They answer, when you look at every part of the ground, they seem to have things sorted. We know Darling coming back to compliment Kennedy. Their midfield is really solid now with Natanui and his supply, and they lost, of course, some manpower down back, but McGovern's been able to come in. If he went down, that would certainly create some issues.
Well, there are only probably one more. He or Schofield went down. They're going to be in some serious trouble, but I don't think we've seen yet Schofield come up back-to-back against some big power forwards.
Yep.
I mean, he's always been that number three key defender, a running key defender. Now that he's had to take on that number one, number two key defender role. I'm still not convinced yet that he can go, you know, back-to-back games against these really big guys. Mm. So that's going to be an interesting test. But what they do so well in that back half is their structures. They hold it so well. And their pressure in the midfield and from their forward line, I mean, their forward pressure is one of the best. We're talking about one of the tallest forward lines. Mm. And yet their pressure is brilliant. Mm. So it allows their midfielders to get back and put pressure on. Then it allows their defenders to not get sucked out of position and to keep their back line intact, as we say. See, very rarely do you see any less than four or five defenders in that defensive area, you know, and they do it so well.
They're set up extremely well under Adam Simpson, defying the critics. Brett at Mount Waverley joins us at 29-1. G'day, Brett.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. Just wondering what you guys think of lifting the minimum distance the ball needs to travel to 20 metres, because some of those 15-metre marks that they're paying, you wouldn't want to buy real estate off some of these umpires, I tell you.
Yeah, I think that one's been going around for a while, Brett. I'm not against it. I don't like these little chips sideways. And I mean, 30 possessions now is like, 50 back in the old day.
Yeah, there's a lot of little cheap stuff. Across half-back and just squaring the footy, changing direction. They don't want to release the footy to a 50-50. So there's a lot of little cheap stuff.
Yeah, I think
we'd probably
get the more kicks to a contest if that's what everyone's after. If you did take that a little bit longer, or even to 25 metres. Mm. I mean, it's going to stop so many short kicks. But you know what? That'd probably still happen. But you've got to play on.
Yep.
You know, I think that would be keep the game going a bit faster, or you'd get your kicks to a contest more.
Good call, Steve in Rye. What's to talk about Kurt Tippett? G'day, Steve.
G'day, mate.
Steve.
Just on the Tippett saga, last year he was playing a lot more forward. He's playing a lot more in the ruck, it seems, this year, and which is leaving Buddy One out there all the time to do all the workload. Mm. And a bit the same as Sam Reed. He's a bloke with a great pair of hands and can play forward, but he just keeps playing up the wing and in the back line all the time. I just think it's a waste. Like last year we had those three tools that could play up there all year, and we were unpredictable, but this year we just seem too predictable with Tippett going in the ruck all the time and all that. So just want to see your thoughts on that.
Well, the problem is you got Pike, who is, he's serviceable, but he's never going to be a great ruckman. Derek's came in on the weekend. He's not going to do you too much either. So they've had to play Tippett more as a ruckman, which has allowed Buddy to probably play more as a lone standalone forward. But as you say, we know where it's going if you're the defence. And especially when you've got... And I think Friday night showed that Rance is still the best key defender in the game. There was probably some, is it McGovern now? Is it Hurley? Is it McDonald? A couple of other guys.
Yeah.
It is Rance. And then some distance. Because his job on Buddy was unbelievable. On and off the ball.
That one fist where it went, was it about 30 metres or something?
Yeah, whacked, didn't he?
It was phenomenal. And I think it landed in the hands of a Richmond guy. I mean, he spoils and he's rebound and he's... His courage.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing about just going package. Back on that question, though.
Yep.
The biggest loss for Sydney is without doubt Shane Mumford. But to lose Shane Mumford, they obviously had, they brought in Buddy.
Mm.
So there's a question mark. Do you bring in someone like a Buddy for that much money and a Tippett?
Mm.
Then you lose arguably the best ruckman in the game. And you throw Mummy in Sydney.
And GWS are feeling that right now.
Yeah, we are talking... They'd be premiership favourites, in my opinion, on the back of Shane Mumford.
Cameron Mooney with us always on a Tuesday, part of our SEN footy team. Thursday night, of course, we're up to the SCG. Big game between the Swans and Port Adelaide, who are playing for their season 5 and 7. And, of course, Sydney without Tippett and Franklin. Moons, everyone's had an opinion. What's your own?
The Buddy one? No, they got that one wrong. You know, and I love the game played a bit tough and blokes getting knocked over and shirt fronts. But if you're going on today's game, if you're telling me Buddy didn't run over the ball and make a beeline for Edwards, then I wasn't there on the night.
So he should have got...
Oh, I think he probably should have got 3-2 with an early plea.
I can't believe the wide-ranging opinions. And I sat next to Wayne Britton in our call here on SEN on Saturday night.
I heard Brits.
And we were talking about it off
air. I thought he drove off the road.
I said to Brits, we're going to talk about this on air just before we came back for the third quarter. And he looked me in the eye with those Wayne Britton eyes. Would have been pretty scary at the quarter time huddle. And he said, I can't find any reason. I mean, what else was he supposed to do, Buddy Franklin? It was, and look, you know, I'm respecting Wayne as a tremendous footy voice and a former coach, and then you hear people saying you should get four or five, and it's just a opinions make the world go
round. The thing is, if at the end of the day, if Edwards gets knocked out, gets a broken jaw because he was hit flush in the face, in the jaw, in the head, you know, Buddy's looking at five or six.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's how close it was to being an absolute disaster for him. So to say that he didn't have any other option, he did. And like I said, I don't like saying because I love that kind of stuff. But you got to look at today's game, and the ball was there. He could have just bent down, scooped the ball up, and allowed Edwards to make the try and make a tackle. End of the day, he stepped over the ball and ran straight over the top of him.
Well, in this day and age, it didn't look good, did it? Eyes were off the footy and, run past where the footy is.
I think he's just... asked me at the time, I thought he was frustrated, Buddy, because Rance was just starting to get the better of him, even though he kicked those couple of early goals. But Rance got a great fist in on that ball and actually spoiled the ball away. And Buddy took off after it because he knew he had the you-know-whats because he didn't get it. And I think he's just looking for someone to take it out on. And poor old Edwards was the man.
Kurt Tibbett?
Well, I actually thought Tibbett may have got off just on clumsiness. Just on being a big dopey idiot. I thought he may have just been able to sell the point that he's going for a spoil and was a bit clumsy and may have got one down to something or other. But look, at the end of the day, they both got their little whacks, I guess.
9429 1116, you can join us through to 1 o'clock with Moons. I've got to ask your take on the Gold Coast situation.
Good luck, Carmichael.
The meetings
he's thrown everyone under the bus.
The dirty dozen. He's...
What's he doing?
Well, it's just...
Can't believe it.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, we think back, to what the AFL invested into him and to help market the game on the Gold Coast with an NRL identity who crossed coast to come across and...
Well, they've both been an absolute disaster for the AFL.
Yep.
He and Izzy in the... I mean, Izzy walked away, didn't do anything wrong. Izzy just, at the end of the day, just couldn't play the game.
No.
And left early. You know, and rightly so. I mean, he's gone back. He's been an absolute star back at the Waratahs. This guy at least stayed out his contract and looked to be doing all the right things and saying all the right things.
Mm.
In the meantime, he was dragging everyone out to the party scene. But, to actually go there and throw everyone under the bus. I mean, look, these boys have obviously done the wrong thing if that's what's happened. But you don't go throw boys under the bus, do you?
Well, generally not. I mean, I haven't been part of that sort of...
but just mates in general. No,
Well, I suppose it depends.
I'm absolutely shocked that he's come out and just started naming people.
Could it be a situation, I mean, if it's your closest lifelong mates, you maybe don't do that. But when you play professional sport, I suppose you're into different environments where you might become really friendly with a select little few.
To me, you just... You know, if you're the one that's been caught on something and you're the one copping the whack over the knuckles, then you take the full brunt of it.
Mm.
You don't try and soften the blow by throwing everyone else right under the bus with you.
Mm.
I thought it was very extremely weak.
Yeah, but I think it's fascinating if we were caught in that situation, what we'd all do. And I suppose there probably comes a time, Moons, when you're just thinking about yourself, aren't you, and your career and thinking how much I've got to live.
They've probably thought about... They've probably offered him deals or spoken to him about, you get this, and this if you tell us the truth. So he's gone, like you said, I'm probably not the greater mates for these boys, so I'll just say what I need to say to lessen the pain for me. But, very ordinary. And it just looks horrendous for the footy club right now. This is a club in real trouble at the moment, real trouble. If this is going on off the field, they're not getting the results on the field, sponsorship dollars are going to walk away. Supporters aren't going to come through the gates, and they're already really struggling with numbers through the gates. And we've both been to a lot of games this year.
Mm.
They're not getting too many through there right now.
No, only a bit.
It's a
12 or 13.
It's a place that's very fickle. You know, if things are going well, the support will come in and the crowd will come through the doors. If things aren't going well, they won't care. We've seen that with the Titans.
So we're hearing about the group possibly being... I mean, these issues like this would sort of splinter a group and you'd have some people going this way, some of the others. I imagine that's the worst thing that can happen, Moons, inside an elite sporting club is when not everyone's on the same page and you're going to get different characters who bring different personalities and different aspects to a group, and you've got to let some people be a bit more exuberant than others, and as long as they can somehow conform to what the general picture is. But it looks right now there's... a little bit of damage has been done internally.
Yeah, look, it really has, BP. It's hard to sit here and just say, oh, you know, what's exactly going on? Because we don't know what's going on inside the footy club as far as is there fraction between playing groups. But there's no question there'd be people like Gary Ablett who is, you know, so player-driven.
Yep.
He'd be looking at these guys just going, is this seriously happening? He'd be filthy. He would be filthy.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, people being naive. I mean, unless these things are right in front of your eyes, I mean, if you're a person that's never taken drugs or gone down that track, I imagine it'd be pretty hard to detect because people can come in and it can be business as usual, you can cover it up. And, I mean, we've heard a couple of quotes from Guy McKenna today, sort of, who's become, interestingly now, every time there's an issue at the Gold Coast, and there's been plenty of them since he's left, he's become this sort of spokesperson to say that he'd never seen anything. But, I mean, that wasn't going to be happening inside the four walls. I mean, that's where you just look at players and go,
like I said, all 40 players aren't going to be with each other on the weekends. And you have groups within a group. Yeah, that's always been the case, and that will always be the case. But they need to smarten things up pretty quickly up there. I mean, Rodney Eade must be just sitting there going, what have I walked into? This isn't what I signed up for.
The Moonies, always a regular feature.
We'll get there in a minute, BP. We're just looking at a little bit of stuff on Fox 501, a bit of tennis stuff. Who's the mad Russian who whacks his head with a racket?
Yeah, Mikhail Yuzhny. He's drawn blood.
Just watched it there.
A couple of times.
He's insane.
He's mad.
He ranked in the world?
Oh, look, I think he's dipped a bit now.
That's why he's frustrated whacking himself.
For a long time, he was around the top 20. Carved out a pretty decent career, as most of the Russians do. Dropped away a bit now, but yeah, he gets a bit frustrated, Moons, be fair to say. Lets it all out.
A little bit of Murat Safin in him.
The tennis players are probably the best at
that. I love Murat Safin. He was my favourite player at that time.
Might try and hunt him down. See if we can get him on the first serve, Murat. I don't know where we'd find him. Probably the bevy of blondes.
Yeah, in a bar in Russia somewhere. We do have the Moonies, yes, the Score Involvement Awards this year. And look, from round 13, we had the great man, and I do call him the great man because I love watching Jared Ruffhead play. Had an enormous weekend. He had 14 score involvements, which led everybody over the weekend. Mark Murphy, had 13. And Cruiser, this is why he's so important, held in such high regard down at Carlton. Unfortunately, we just haven't been able to see the best of him probably through his whole career now on average. And you got to feel sorry for him because he is so damaging. As a ruckman, he had 11 score involvements over the weekend. And Gunston also had 11. So the two Hawthorne boys just had big, big days, as you'd expect. And the leaderboard, BP, which I know you're excited about.
I am.
Josh Kennedy still leads the way with 13 after 12 matches with 116.
Love Josh Kennedy.
116 score involvements. Incredible. Yeah. Jared Ruffhead with 110. Nat Fyfe with 107. And Gunston with 99. So that's the top four. So two Hawthorn players. That's why I love watching Hawthorn play.
I mean, you wonder,
they are so unselfish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you wonder, long-term, Jared Ruffhead, for so long, sort of in the shadow of Buddy. Buddy goes,
He's kicked 400 plus. I mean, could he be a guy that could be up to 600 already?
Yeah, possibly. Absolutely. And I think certainly the way that forward line is structured, the amount of rotations of guys in and out of the goal square, and yeah, it's brilliant the way
that I think the big thing is now is the fact that he goes on ball and plays as a ruck rover.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who's 6'4", you know, 100 kilos.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see your best key forward leaving the forward line. You know, he's there to kick goals. This guy now just goes and plays an on ball because they've got Gunston, they've got Bruce. Piopolo's doing a fantastic job down there. Hale can go down there and rest if needed be. And then you throw Ruffy on ball and he gets his 29 possessions and has 14 score involvements through the middle of the ground. It's incredible.
It's phenomenal. I mean, they seem so well placed. I mean, I heard your comments earlier on the Hawks. This is the heart. I mean, you're going for three in a row. You know, obviously, there's a lot driving the playing group, but there's also...
Well, it's not just three in a row. It's four grand finals in a row.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Well, Brisbane...
Okay, that is so hard to do, to back up 4 years in a row. And obviously, that really horrendous loss against the Swans drove them for 2013. And, you know, 2014, they were just super outfit and wanted to probably get revenge on Sydney come grand final day. But to actually go and to four grand finals in a row, trying to win three in a row, mentally that's tough. And people might just say, oh, no, that's easy, you know, because you just want to win. Of course you want to win, but to actually keep doing the little things over and over and over again, which you need to do 4 years in a row, that's tough.
Is that where your leaders really sort of take
leaders, but you know control? What it also is that, but it's also the young guys giving that enthusiasm to the older guys and driving the older guys to, because it's got to be the young guys sometimes that go, you know, we want to win two. Now, there's a couple of guys there would like, you know, want to win one. So they're driving the older guys, and sometimes that's just as important as the older guys keeping the younger guys up and about.
It's a fascinating season, isn't it? I mean, right now we're sitting there saying, Fremantle, maybe you've got a couple of vulnerabilities. Sydney, the Hawks are going to charge. And then there's this pack of the other four teams inside the top eight who we probably don't look at as premiership contenders, but maybe someone bobs up. I mean,
yeah, someone always bobs up, and it might be West Coast this year. They might be the team. They're sitting second right now. I mean, we've got to start giving them some respect, don't we? I mean, like I said, they're going to have how many games at home will they have?
Well, what do we got left? We've got about 10 games, 10 9 games, left, so they'll have about half.
Five?
At least 14, 15.
Got to win that, don't they?
They won't drop too many at home.